Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to the reigning story of the atmosphere, no rain. What does this mean? Jeff, a very good evening to you. We've touched upon Lake Mead, the reservoir behind the Hoover Dam, and you sent me a photograph of the intake valves now exposed because of the diminution of rain, the drought, the third year of drought. However, this has knock-on effects for the whole region, and it's not just California that's going to be hurt. What does it mean for Mead to be where it is? Can it get worse, and what happens if it does? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. Indeed, it can get worse, and all the predictions are that it's not going to just get worse. It's going to get much worse. But we're now hitting a point where people are starting to see that red line, as they say, is about to be crossed, and that is a height, an elevation, I should say, of 1,075 feet. And once it dips below that in the reservoir, then it causes the Bureau of Reclamation to set in effect some actions that they're have been mandated for them. And that means they're going to cut water to some key areas, namely in Arizona and Nevada. You know, so they're going to cut water right away 30%. So you're talking about a big hit on agriculture in that area. And even though the image of it as being very desert-like is somewhat true, there is a lot of agriculture. They're talking about cutting water to businesses, and that's going to hurt, you know, a lot of businesses that are important for tourism and for, you know, gambling industries and such. And they're going to be hitting the residential folks as well. And so, you know, people don't really think about Arizona and Nevada as being places with green lawns, and they do have them. But you're talking about overall water usage. You're talking about people filling their pools. You're talking about people, just having water available for showers and washing and you name it in their own homes. So this is the first step. It's very drastic because it's going to happen literally overnight. And it's something that'll continue to get worse as that water drops. And as I said, that 1,075 foot level, they're saying that's not the end of it. They think that's just the beginning of them thinking about, wow, are we talking about 30, 40, 50, maybe 60% cuts in the future?
Jeff, my conversation with Australia with my colleague, Jeremy Zakas, points to a phenomenon in Australia. This last summer, it rained enormously, unusually. They called it bucketing. However, we're now told that La Nina remains sweeping across southern Australia, and it's going to be joined by something called, I'd never heard of this before, the Indian Ocean Dipole, meaning warm water, warm air is going to conjoin with La Nina for even a heavier rainfall for the winter in Australia. The reason this might be connected is that Jeremy reminds me there's only so much moisture in the Earth's atmosphere at any one time. And in order for an area like Australia to have too much rain over summer, over fall, over winter, someone has to have too little rain. I have not seen this written down. I'm waiting for Science and Nature magazine to do studies. But it certainly is an odd coincidence that while Australia gets washed out, I mean, their dams are brimful. They're running off the dams as fast as they can without causing flooding. There are parts of Queensland that are just to be abandoned because they were so badly damaged in the summertime rains. For that to happen, somebody's got to be without water, and that could be California and the whole of the West. Have you heard this on your meteorology reports?
We have heard similar stories that there's a drawdown effect in a way that if, you know, it's heavy in one part, it's going to be light in the other. I will tell you from just having been in Australia within the past couple of weeks, talking to people about the rains and the flooding down there, that they had never, ever in their life or in their history that they could see seen rains or experience rains like that. As you said, it was like bucketing. They said it wasn't, you know, large drops. It didn't look like large hail. It just looked like massive amounts of water falling from the sky. And just, it was continuous. They said, you know, you kept waiting for a break, but it just kept going on and on and on. Now, I was in Queensland where you talked about the flooding, and there were places there where the water had risen up beyond the three-story level. So, you know, well over 30 feet. And there were billions of dollars in damage they were still trying to deal with and still counting the casualties, the human lives that were lost and the people that were injured. And there was a lot of talk about some areas just being abandoned, as you point out, because they'd been so badly damaged. And they know that as these rains come along and the floods pile up one after the other, there'd be no way for them to go back. So they're trying to cope with that down there, as you point out.
From catastrophe, we go to, well, it's important. It's part of the culture. Brown lawns. I remind myself, Jeff, that several years past, oh, it might have been 8 or 9 years, there was a 3-year drought in Texas. And at the time, Texas was unaccustomed to enforcing water rules. But they did. And one of the ways that they did it was if you had a green lawn, you were suspect. Is that coming to Los Angeles?
Matter of fact, it is. The Metropolitan Water District, which is what is over the L.A. basin, basically, for water supply, has told people, look, you better get used to a 35% reduction coming. We just talked about a 30% reduction with Lake Mead and the dam. But they're saying this is going to be the strictest ever water restrictions, probably for about 6 million people in total. So that'll work out to be about 80 gallons a day. Right now, they say, you know, each person is allowed or, you know, thought of as spending 125 gallons a day. And that includes everything in your household from washing, you know, personal washing, hygiene, to, you know, washer machines, to lawn watering, and you name it. But that's going to be a big jump. Now, they're saying they're not going to really install that plan until September, which would let people get through the hottest months, basically. But still, we're looking at some pretty drastic cuts.
Governor Newsom has a plan about homelessness. It's called Care Court, to use what I understand the civil court system to oblige people to go into care, mental health care, if they refuse the police or direction or the direction of the caregivers. However, I also read, this is the LA Times, thanks to you, Jeff, that the local government officials and residents are resisting some parts of the plan for court-ordered treatment for homeless individuals. It looks like what we have here is not in my backyard. Is this a big story in L.A. that the governor's order means that some neighborhoods are going to be visited by homeless mental health facilities?
It is a big story in all the major urban areas where they have homelessness throughout California. So you're talking Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, parts of Orange County, San Diego, where you have large populations of homeless who are there for the resources and the weather and such. And so there are a couple things at work here. One is, you know, honestly, people want to know, where is this money coming from? Now, we have a huge surplus right now in Sacramento. I think it's about, you know, it's $68 billion, maybe. Maybe that's the total amount of the budget. But there's a very large surplus in Sacramento. And so it seems that they'd be able to cover at least part of this. But they're foreseeing such a huge problem that they're wondering where that money is going to come to pay for this type of care or this type of oversight. But you also have people who are the, you know, the honest civil libertarians who are saying you don't have a right just to sweep people off the street because they're unappealing to you, that they look bad or they act strange. But there's also, and this is a big part of it, as we've talked about, the homeless industrial complex, the people who get rich off of people being homeless. So you have lawyers, you have certain, you know, organizations that say they give aid to the homeless, they help the homeless. You have other people that are connected to disability rights, who make money from it. And these are all, you know, they're coming together, as they often do, to fight any changes that might make things better. When Newsom proposed this idea of a care court, there were a lot of people that were very happy. They were saying, look, this is the right way we've got to go. For a long time, these people were released to the streets, and they were actually made to be everybody's problem rather than the state's problem. So that's what you have, is you have this this tug between people who really do want to get this taken care of and the people who don't, because the longer it's not taken care of, the more they stand to be empowered and enriched by, you know, government programs, handouts, et cetera.
Finally, the cost of gasoline. In Connecticut, I saw a sign within these last hours of $4.69 a gallon for regular. What are the prices in L.A. now that you've seen?
So I've seen prices ranging from the high fives, usually in the 590s for that's low grade, all the way up to $7 for the high grade. As a matter of fact, today we're in Laguna Beach, which is a coastal beach community in Orange County, Southern Orange County, and the prices were running up into the high sixes for some of the gas stations down there. So as my wife, who does a lot of studying on gas and fuel prices, said, what we're dealing with is the rocket and feather type of situation. Is when oil prices go up, gas prices rocket up, and when oil prices drop, they tend to feather down. They fall down slowly, but they're not right now. We're not at that point where they're really being it's noticeable to see them falling any amount. We've seen oil drop a bit, but certainly it hasn't affected people at the pump.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.